So there's like this thing called the millennial tone where you don't really come down at the end of your sentences and you always ask a question even though it's not a question. Find out more on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey guys, you guys are watching Inverse, and we're so happy that you are with us here in the studio. I am here in this wonderful building with my friends, two of them in person and one person online, and we're so glad that you're here with our Bible study. We're in the middle of talking about discipleship, so we're going to have a Bible study on Bible studies, if that makes sense in any way. Guys, say hi and say it's so good to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, it's good to hang out with you.
This is we've been on virtual. Mm-hmm. For a while, right? We were in those Brady Bunch boxes. And this is the first time we only have three people in the studio. But we have Callie online. And Callie, if you're out there, hey, how's it going?
Can you hear us? Hi, everyone.
Okay? Yeah, great that you could be with us. Can you pray for us? Because we need the Lord's blessing.
Absolutely. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege it is, with all this different technology, to study your word together. As we study, I pray that you guide us by your Holy Spirit. May we see things clearly, may we apply them, and may we love Jesus more because of our time spent together. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Siku. So we've been looking at different elements of discipleship. I know it was like a while ago when we were recording those, and now that we're getting back into the main theme of discipleship, what are some highlights that you remember from them this quarter? Just for those, if you're out there and this is your first time watching the show, or you feel like, man, I don't know what's going on, give us kind of a synopsis, update, okay. Review kind of thing.
Okay. I guess one highlight for me from what we've studied is the main point, the goal of discipleship is to be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's about spending time with him and then sharing him with others. So that's probably like high point for me. And then in recent weeks, we've kind of gone into the agricultural metaphor, would it be called, for discipleship, and talking about preparing the ground and then planting seed. I think those are the last two ones that we did. So just what kind of a lifestyle that you're living, like preparing is not necessarily, sometimes when we think about doing evangelism, it's like, oh, you have to go and give a Bible study, or you have to, you know, knock on someone's door. But there's something that happens even before that. Just living a Christian life, caring about things that are important to other people, caring about people, mm-hmm. that prepares people to be able to receive what you have to tell them about Jesus, because they know it doesn't, people don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I got it. Okay.
Just to piggyback on your comment, I appreciate what you're saying. I think this quarter we've been really, really debunking mm-hmm. what regular normal people think, or what people normally think about discipleship, mm-hmm. right? Kind of as a program or whatnot. And then there's also this kind of like spiritualized discipleship mm-hmm. and how that fits into church. I'm just mm-hmm. kind of like putting all the pieces and rightfully where they should be. And mm-hmm. I appreciate the discussion. So yeah, I love about caring, making it very organic, mm-hmm. but bringing it into some discipline in mm-hmm. our walk. So we're looking at cultivating, the stage of cultivating. And Jonathan, if you can read John. Jonathan, mm-hmm. if you can read John.
Yes.
chapter 15 and verses 1 through 8 for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, absolutely. It says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Asiku, you were saying we've been looking at different elements of a discipleship. We are in the middle of this agricultural grow motif or model. And so the first stage is we need to be preparing the ground, and really we can't just go in and just be like, hey, you know, you want to know about Jesus and just, you know, baptize them and now you're a Christian. We just don't do that. That's just not what Jesus did and what we see in his writings. So really preparation of the ground. Second step is to be planting the word of God in people's hearts. And now the step of we need to be cultivating, yeah? Mm-hmm. And probably the equivalent of cultivating in this passage would be what? What is the word that's repeated?
Abide.
So explain that. What is this abide? Yeah, is this like this abide or what's going on?
You know,
kind of going back.
Oh, go ahead, Callie.
Let's go to Jonathan. We'll go to Callie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, I like it says here abide in you know, I have a German background, mm. German language, and in German the word that's used here is to stay, mm-hmm. To remain, to be mm-hmm. with, connected to the vine, which is, you know, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so it is an element of relationship, it is an element of connection, and Jesus brings it out here how that happens. It is, mm-hmm. he says, has to do with his word. Mm. And so it has to do with connection, relationship, and connecting with his word, mm-hmm. Just as a general overview here. So mm-hmm. that's one of the main points that I see in this passage. About connecting with Christ, it means to stay with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not just a quick drive-by, hey, high five, Jesus, and I'm a Christian, I'm going to go on. No, I'm staying with him.
And sometimes that's a harder part of my experience. We have these like beginning points with Jesus, mm-hmm. and then we're like, we do other things, but staying in that consistency. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Callie.
Yeah, I just want to add to the aspect of how much it takes time, because a lot of the other parts, you know, preparation takes time and planting takes time too, but they can also be seen more as events versus cultivating. As, you know, Jonathan said, it requires staying and it requires time, and there's no time limit, right? So cultivating a relationship with someone, some people come to Jesus really quickly, and sometimes for longer. And so this can also be one of the most frustrating stages, because you're like, okay, are we progressing? Like, and even looking at it in an agricultural way, a lot of times these plants, they're growing under the ground. You don't really see a lot going on the top of the soil. Mm. So you're kind of like, is anything happening? I remember, you know, having spiritual conversations with people and giving Bible studies, and outwardly I'm like, are they even like listening to me? Mm-hmm. Do they love Jesus more? I don't know. And so to me, this is the stage that requires the most faith, mm-hmm. as well as the most intentionality.
Mm-hmm. And in the agricultural that time frame, it's the longest. You were saying it's the longest just
segments.
Waiting, yeah. And yeah.
Just to go to the verse that Jonathan was referencing in verse 7.
Yeah. 7?
John 15, mm-hmm. yep. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's where you get, I think that's probably the clearest, that concept of the word. Mm. What it means, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, it's kind of these parallel statements. Mm-hmm. What it means to abide in Jesus is that my words are abiding in you. So how we remain with Jesus and this fellowship that we have with him, this constant, you know, staying with him, it happens through reading his word, mm-hmm. right? And so it's not a mystical, you know, experience. It's actually staying in the word of God, mm-hmm. and that's how we abide with him. And I like that it's actually really practical. Mm-hmm. You know, you have steps for how you can do this. Like, if you're spending time in God's word, you are spending time with God himself, mm-hmm. and you're mm-hmm. abiding with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, in this time and age, we're up on social distancing, we're all separated, but what you're talking about is, I know this sounds so cliche, mm-hmm. but this is the core of it, is it's a relational development with God,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. And everyone talks, we need to have a relationship. Yes, it is relational, but it's not a merely intellectual assent. Mm-hmm. It is not merely a ontological, you know, let me... you know, dwell, you know, I don't know why I do this. I imagine this, and this, just kind of, you know, this, this. Yeah. It's not that either. It's just like a relationship. And if you look at it, the most important things in our lives are relationships themselves, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then to develop this relationship with this person that we can't see with our senses, this is where it's at. Mm-hmm. John?
I think we have to, you mentioned the word, I think it was you or Callie, it said intentionality. Mm-hmm. We have to just... it's a reality that we cannot see Jesus, okay? We have the Word, and that's the gift that God has given us. And God has given it to us for a purpose. Mm. It is not just to stay there. It is we are to engage with it. We are to take it in. We are to memorize Scripture. We are to know Scripture, to apply Scripture, and do it in a relationship context of, you know, prayer, Bible study, sharing. We talked about these elements in discipleship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Bible says that we need to set our mind on things above, set our minds on these higher realities, and taking that with us throughout the day. Obviously, you can't read Scripture the entire day, and that's not what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to spend time with Him and then take it with us as we go throughout our day. Mm-hmm. But the intentionality is so important, mm-hmm. because if we don't make it a habit, if we don't take time to fill up, you know, so to say, with the Word, then we don't really have anything to share either. Mm. Just occasional, you know, moment. I mean, that's good, but it's Jesus wants more. Mm-hmm. Abiding means to really connect and to stay connected. Because otherwise, if you're not connected, if you're not connected, you will die. Mm-hmm. That's just the simple reality of it. Yeah. And in this time and age that we're living in, and I'm speaking of my personal experience, we are not good with staying fixed on one thing and staying mm-hmm. intentional and staying, you know, dedicated. We want to try all these things because there's so much being offered to us. But Jesus wants us to stay and abide and connect.
I love this. I have two things I'm taking out from your comment. One is we need that discipline, mm-hmm. right? So there is energy, there is work, there is this chutzpah you got to put into it. Is chutzpah a word? I don't know.
Yeah.
anyway, I don't know what language. Anyway, you need that. You need that urgness in there, and you may not immediately get all these benefits like that just pour out. Mm-hmm. But we need that consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not our salvation isn't based on that.
No. Yeah. No.
But it is part of our Christian discipline, yeah. discipleship.
But I mean, I'm getting the discipline side of it, but it's just also what happens naturally in our life experience when you spend time with someone, and it may not even be like in person because social distancing, right? But mm-hmm. like during this time when you can't necessarily hang out with as many friends all the time, but there are people that you're talking to more frequently. Mm-hmm. But the more time that you spend with someone, the more you get to know how their brain works. Mm-hmm. You can finish each other's sentences, mm-hmm. you know, and like just that time listening to each other and talking to each other, that staying together transforms you. Mm-hmm. Like it's just a natural part of what happens in our human reality, mm-hmm. which when I remember when my now husband was trying to get to know me, I intentionally decided that I wasn't going to spend time with him because I was like, if I spend time with this guy, I'm going to end up liking him. And then if I like him, then we might end up dating. And you know, it's just kind of, I don't want to go down that road. So I would intentionally not try to hang out with him.
Uh-huh.
Right. But
you guys ended up married.
Because
did they end up married?
Yeah.
We'll find out when we come after the break. What happened to this unintentionality? Did it become intentional? Anyway, stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are in suspense to see. So, you guys are married, right?
Yes.
And you're still married?
Yeah.
So, but you were intentional not to,
right,
to get to know him because you'd be married, but then. So how does
he convinced me? He convinced me to spend time with him by feeding me,
and eating you food.
Yes, mm-hmm. which is the way to a woman's heart, mm-hmm. by the way. Okay. So the more time that you spend together, the more I'm like, you know, getting to know him and appreciating the positive qualities, etc. And you know, here we are, mm-hmm. three kids later, mm-hmm. and we still talk, you get to know each other more and. Before I was married, and I would hear stories about, oh, you know, we got married, but each day is sweeter than the day before, and I feel mm-hmm. like I love the person like more than I would have met them. I'm like, yeah, right, because, but I'm starting to get a glimpse of what that could mean. Is just the more time that you spend together, the more that you get to know each other. It's like the deeper the connection,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and with Jesus in an even more powerful way. He wants us to be spending time with him as he's speaking to us, and we mm-hmm. speak to him through prayer. But he wants us to get to know him. And the mm-hmm. more we get to know him, the more we appreciate him, the more that we love him, the more we want to tell other people about right. him, I have a hard time not talking about my husband on the show, right. You know.
So, and I totally appreciate the relational relation in a romantic relationship. I mean, as analogy with our relationship with God. Right? I totally get that, and I think we hear that a lot. But when it comes to relationship with God, there is that. I think that entry level is there is that analogy. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point in our discipleship, we need to also it gets different.
Yep.
And I think there is no analogy that is comparable mm-hmm. between our Lord and mm-hmm. and humanity, and then and any other human relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was gonna say I think part of why that is with another human, you're both human, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the relationship with God,
he's
not just perfect, but his knowledge is infinite.
Yes.
So having a conversation with somebody who knows like infinitely more than you know, there's no way it's a level conversation, you know. And he condescends to listen to what you've got to say, but what we glean and what we can gain from that relationship far transcends what any human relationship could have, mm-hmm. which is why we can ask him questions that I couldn't ask my husband. And so it's a different level of relationship.
Mm. We may have to create a new category of relationship, which I think many people have a hard time doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's either comparing it to a boyfriend-girlfriend, and we know there are many musical entrees that reflect that, or a father and mother. And mm-hmm. some people never get out of that analogy with God. They just think of him as a parent. But it is a new category developed altogether. So let's go into let's transition into this. We encounter a relationship with God through the Word, but I think there's also a maturing in this.
Yes.
And then at the top of the show, I mean, we played around a little, and I talked about the millennial tone, and everything is like a question, you know, even though we're making statements all the time. And this is very indicative of our generation, where we're always asking these questions when we're not really saying anything, you know. And now you can make fun of that,
mm-hmm.
right? And so in using that as a teaser is this, that we need a space mm-hmm. to ask questions,
mm-hmm.
right, and to develop deeper our relationship with God.
Yes.
And so in our discipleship, yes, we are reading the Bible, but we also need to provide space for other people to ask questions
mm-hmm.
and to be giving Bible studies.
Yeah.
Not Bible studies where we're just feeding people information, but like, hey, mm-hmm. this is a safe place, no judgment. Hey, let's ask questions at an mm-hmm. open Q&A. Yeah? How do we do this? How does this feed into the discipleship motif? Jonathan?
Can we read a Bible verse?
Yes, absolutely.
I think we're going to go to Isaiah 1.
Isaiah 1.
Isaiah chapter 1 and here verse 18.
118. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 118.
And here God is speaking, and he's giving us an invitation. Isaiah 1 verse 18, he says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool."
Mm-hmm.
And here God is giving an invitation to humanity, and it's beautiful because he's saying, come, mm-hmm. come now. This is an invitation to commune, to abide, mm-hmm. to be present with him. And then he says, let us reason together. Let us discuss. Let us, really, God is not the one who has to be informed. He's the one who is informing us. But he's trying to help us understand his will, his way. He's trying to help us understand, as this verse says, his plan of salvation, you know. Mm-hmm. And so God invites us into this space and to this experience of not just reasoning, but asking questions, trying to understand what does the Word say, trying to understand his will.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about God. He's not just here telling us, this is how it is, this is how it is, this is how it is.
Yeah.
He does give us information,
yes.
but he is willing to engage with us. You said he condescends, he comes down. He's willing to connect with us, knowing that we don't understand and mm-hmm. that we have trouble grasping some of the simplest things,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's saying, okay, I'm going to help you. I'm your teacher. I'm going to bless you in this. But he's okay with us asking questions. He's okay with us using our brain and trying to figure it out. It's not just a blatant do this or it is a I'm going to help you understand this.
Mm-hmm.
And so as he does that, he models for us as his disciples who are supposed to disciple others.
Yes,
he models for us a way to engage with people around us, helping them understand his word. We are not here to just tell people, this is how it is. We are here to invite people into an experience of reasoning so that they can get to know God how we do.
Mm-hmm. I love these concepts of reasoning and invitation. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, the places, the times where I've grown the most was when I was in a safe Bible study arena where I could ask questions. And then the second place is when I led out in a Bible study and I'm feeding what I know from how the Lord has given me. And in me providing answers, it also has fed my soul as well. Yeah. Kelly, what has been your experience?
Yeah, going on back to the idea of asking questions, the fact that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they're also welcoming of questions is indicative of his love and his wisdom. Because when you know what is right, you're not threatened by questions, right? People are defensive when they're unsure or when they feel threatened. But God's like, go ahead. Like, I have all the answers and I've got the love and it's fine. And similar to you, Justin, I have felt so blessed by being around people who are not threatened by my questions as well. Because I think sometimes, you know, as Christians, we can become defensive. We're like, how dare you ask these questions about God? Like, how dare you assume these things? But it's like, God isn't threatened, so why should we? Right. Because it is the truth, and so we should be willing to share that with other people. And as you've seen, and as I'm sure we've all seen, people who respond with Christ-like manners are the ones who ultimately win people to Christ, because you're actually mimicking him and showing that there's nothing to hide, so questions don't threaten God.
Let me ask the three of you, we'll come to Siku, but I mean, let me ask this question. How have you all three been, have you grown through, I think it's pretty obvious that if we study the Bible, we will grow spiritually. That's like, you know, awesome elementary, first level, not elementary, simple, but elementary we need to do. But the next step is if we're giving Bible studies, how have you grown? Has it been challenging? Have you failed? What has been some of those experiences?
I could start. I have a friend that I'm studying with right now, and just like a week ago, she asked me a question that I had no clue. I had never thought about it, and I'm just like, you know what? I have no idea. The experience of admitting that I have no idea and I'm supposed to be the one, like, you know, helping her understand, it was humbling, and it helped me realize that ultimately we come to where, you know, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Like, when we're coming to God's word, we are communally asking the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. So even if he has revealed certain things to me before, he can still teach me even now. And I was like, okay, I'm going to come back to you next week. Let me research this. And what I can bring to the table in studying with my friend is more experience knowing how to look for answers. It's not a monopoly on the Holy Spirit, a monopoly on understanding Scripture, but it's just, I guess, more time having done so. And so in finding that answer, actually what we ended up doing was when we had our next study this past weekend, I just said, hey, here are the Bible verses that helped me understand. I'm giving them to you. Go and study them, and we'll meet next week and discuss what you found in your Bible study. So for me, the part of the blessing has been the enrichment is, for one, learning through Scripture, seeing things from a different perspective that I would have never thought about, because I've always kind of thought of things a certain way. You know, that's one of the things.
I love that in the Christian structure, you are the higher one, there is a lower, and you are sharing what you know, but it's not higher only and lower only. You're also learning, and the two people in respect to God,
we're
also servants and students underneath him. So there is, you know, we're all at different levels, and we're sharing with the people on a journey, but all of us are all on that journey together. It's a cool equilibrium, but not totally the same. Structure that
and you know, teachers appreciate this. I'm sure they know when you teach, you learn the material as well as you teach and so on. And this is something happens in your mind. But I believe that as we engage with the Holy Spirit in this kind of work, a transformative experience takes place as well, because we are engaging with the Word of God. So we are blessed as we share. I have the privilege, and I want to emphasize privilege as a pastor, to study the Bible with a lot of people. But what I've really appreciated it, even though it's a challenge for me personally, is to study the Bible with very young people, you know, young teenagers, trying to share. You know, I love going really deep and having it, you know, the more complex you know, I just love that when it's really like highly intellectual and really, you know, what does it mean? But when you have to explain the gospel and these things to a young mind, it challenges you to rethink everything and how do you share this? Mm. But there's a huge blessing in sharing. And you don't have to be a pastor to mm-hmm. do this kind of work. It's really a blessing. It's part
and
of
it. I think that's the key. It's Whoa. Every Christian has to be yes. this right, way. Right. Every disciple should be teaching this
yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, like, you don't have to have all the answers
exactly.
even to engage in the work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that it's okay to be asking questions. Like,
yes.
it's actually... That's part of your Christian experience, and that's what I love about studying the Bible, is that it's okay to be asking
yes.
questions.
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
supposed to.
Yes. Okay, we're going to ask a question to Kelly. Throw it over there.
Yeah, I was just going to add, I really especially agree with what Siku shared, and that's been my experience. And not only people asking questions I wouldn't have thought of, but you feel like you need to understand something a lot better when someone's going to ask you. Because
yeah.
for yourself, you might be like, okay, yeah, I get it, like, whatever. But someone's like, no, really, why is this? And you're like, man, I got to read like 17 articles to really understand this. And I need to read all the Bible verses. And so that helps you go deeper. And another thing is really just seeing things from a different perspective. Someone who is coming from a different Christian background or completely atheistic. And even though it's the same gospel, you explain it in a different way and it hits their heart differently. So even you learn different angles of truth by sharing it with different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the questions that emerge for me is every day, do I have this one-on-one time with Jesus? Do I have that safe space to ask these questions about life, about purpose, about meaning with the Lord Jesus? And am I creating this safe space for people around me that we can ask questions and under the grace of God and provide these answers? We want to encourage you to provide a Bible study space for those people around you. Thanks for joining us here at Inverse. We'll see you here next week on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.